Hi there, this is Kyle Hebert, the voice of the narrator from Dragon Ball Z, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds podcast.
I feel like I didn't know she was a chick until Zero Suit Samus came out.
Well, a lot of people didn't know until you beat the first one.
What game is Zero Suit Samus?
Thanks for tuning in to episode 98 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast, the week of October 18th, 2021, the weekly podcast that covers the last week's important gaming and nerd culture news, hosted by Gags and Dill. You know who comes out today? Sora.
Sora, oh shit.
Oh, I hope the boys hop back on. There was a little bit when the pandemic started, like me, Dev, Brandon Bernard, TA got on one time online, but he plays Switch Lite, so he was getting fucking bodied.
Why?
Because he was playing on a Switch Lite and we were all using real... It's not the same.
Don't make an excuse for...
Oh my God. Try playing Smash Bros. On this shit.
I could easily play. What are you talking about? Stop it.
I beat Metroid Dread. I knew you were going to question it. I have no so many proof. Screenshots. No. It took me 8 hours. 8 hours and like 7 minutes. But what it doesn't count is every time you lose to a boss, it doesn't count that time. The final boss took me 2.5 hours.
Jesus Christ. You know, I wouldn't have the patience for that.
The problem is it's fun. Like when you lose. It is like, damn it, I should have just done this one. It was like Cuphead. It's almost like Cuphead.
It's like Hades.
Yeah, kind of. Honestly.
Oh, I should have did it this way.
Yes.
And then the next time you go, you try doing that, you get bodied.
Yeah, no, honestly.
Until you die 49 times and then you finally win the game.
That's what Metroid Dread needs, is like a death counter to tell you how many times you died before.
I don't like seeing that.
What, how many times you died?
Yeah, no, it's not enjoyable. Because then I can't even lie, like, I beat it first try.
Oh, so you would lie.
No, not that I would, but I couldn't. You know, it takes away the ability, and that sucks.
All of the Metroid games, like the actual 2D ones, like this one, super hard games. All of them are really hard.
I'm sure.
This is, like, I will say for sure, the easiest. And it's only the easiest because of, like, modern-day conveniences. Like, imagine you had to hold R and aim with a D-pad to shoot.
Ugh.
That's how you.
That just sounds disgusting.
Yeah, in this one you can hold R and aim with an analog stick, so you can actually get the angle that
much,
you want.
Much better.
Yeah, that's already a million times better.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
You get a phase shift, so like if you hit A, Samus goes like basically non-touchable for a second and does like a fast slide.
You phase through shit.
Yeah, which is so better. Like
that's
to dodge attacks.
That's dope. Yeah.
The actual jumping, like Samus in this one's way more nimble because it's not 16-bit on a Game Boy Advance. Smoother. Way better. So anytime a boss attacks you, you're actually able to dodge it, where in the other ones, you were like, all right, I have 1,000 health now, so I'm just going to eat these shots and hope I kill them first. But that's kind of like the
those
formula.
Old games, you think you have enough air to dodge it, and you still get hit.
No,
you're
you
just
get
like,
hit.
You're just like, okay.
The frames aren't there.
Honestly, that's how I felt about Kingdom Hearts 3.
What, like?
Like, in the first two, you could do that aerial dodge or whatever, and you never, like, you very rarely got hit unless you were playing someone, like, crazy and they just kept attacking.
Like, Sephiroth.
But Kingdom Hearts 3, for some reason, I could not dodge a fucking... I was getting hit by normal dudes. Like, every time I'd go to dodge, I'd still get hit somehow.
Yeah.
I'm like, how am I getting hit right now?
Well, so, and 100%, so...
And that's a newer game. You'd think it'd be different.
Right, and that's 100% why this one's easier. It's because it's a newer game.
Yeah.
Where in the other ones, like, even in just, like, the little rooms with, like... little enemies, they could fuck you up because they would be like at your feet and you can't aim and hit them
at
your feet.
That's how I felt in this fucking Kingdom Hearts 3 at the beginning. I was like, why am I getting whapped by these little fucking, you know, the little flame guys that like shoot the little ember dudes that just shoot fire at you? I was just getting bodied. I was like,
by them.
Why can't I dodge one of these attacks?
The Switch OLED, remember how I sent that in? I got an update. So UPS notified me like, hey, we delivered it. So Nintendo gives you the repair status number. So if you look that up, remember I was showing you, they said they still don't have it.
Yep.
So today I checked it. Again, they say they don't have it. So I was like, all right, this is not good. I'm going to contact them. So I messaged them. They're like, what's the repair number? I give them the repair number. They said, ooh, that's weird. And then they were like, hold on, let me talk to a technician and see what's going on. And then they got back to me and said, we'll notify you in a day or two about what's going on with it. We think it might be delayed. We're not sure. And I was like, what do you mean it might be delayed? Because UPS said it's delivered. And they're like, so it's probably delivered. We just don't know where it is.
Oh, here we go. I told you, you're never getting it back. Absolutely. That thing is gone.
Well, and then they were like, this is why we told you it would take 2 to 3 weeks to repair it. And
it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks for you guys to find it.
Well, so I was like, I don't care if it takes 2 to 3 weeks to repair it.
Well, as long as you have it.
Right, where is it? And they're like, well, we'll have to get back to you in 2 days.
I would bring up the biggest lawsuit. I guarantee you it's in that UPS guy's pocket.
No, because it's they even have the name on just the UPS delivery. Just because it says delivery
don't mean nothing.
Well, so they claim they have it, Nintendo. They just don't know where it
is. Yeah, no, it's crap. Because they have the box with all the tracking info, but the guy already swiped it out. Oh, the UPS guy is playing with that at home right now. Like, thank God.
Good luck. It's broken.
Thank God for gags. No, he found a way to get past it. Yeah. That guy is living his best life because he just got a free
outlet. You're right, though. I have no idea when that thing's coming back, what's going on with it.
I just want to say that you saying that you beat Metroid Dread is like the equivalent to TA saying that he beat Ruby and Emerald.
I don't believe it.
With no proof.
Right.
So that's like this. That's how I'm, you know, hearing
this. He sent
us
a photo like it was Bigfoot. You know what I mean? Like the photo was blurry. It's in the corner.
It didn't even say his username. No. So it's kind of hard to. He could have just, you know, screenshotted that off a stream or something.
Also, like, how old is that game? It took him how long to beat a boss?
I know. I mean, it's ridiculous. The game's been out since like 97.
And he's watched like 19 different YouTube tutorials on how to
do it. He probably had to watch an entire video just to fake that.
And he claimed it was a glitch?
Oh, yeah, the AI glitch, which doesn't happen. It's not in the algorithm. So I'm confused how this glitch allowed you to win.
Yeah,
I don't...
Fake news.
How many times would he have had to watch this fight to realize, like, at that certain point, there would be a glitch? Mm-hmm. And how did you recognize it as a glitch instead of just being a random thing that this monster just did?
Yeah, he's making it up. I don't believe him for a second.
So that's how I'm feeling about you being Metroid Dread.
I mean, technically, the way it works is it does the save point, and you know how it does like a little symbol next to the save point when you clear it?
Yeah.
So that's there, and then you can fight the final boss if you want. I'd love to see you try.
I mean, is it the reason I can still fight him is because you haven't beaten him yet, and you there? And
so when it does
kind of like
save
a TA
point,
thing where he'd save right before the final boss and be in a position where you can't turn back and then go fight the boss and die and then be like, oh no, I got to restart my season.
This is good because you save right before the final boss, but you can still go back if you want to.
That's newer games.
Yeah, yeah. Again, newer games.
Try to make it easy for you guys.
Because technically, you can go fight the final boss once you get to him without having all the like health upgrades and all the missile upgrades.
Yeah.
But the more you have, 100%, the easier it gets.
Obviously. So obviously, you didn't have a lot if it took you 2.5 hours.
So the game told me I think my clear time was 8 hours and 7 minutes. And it said I had 49% of the items, which means there was still, like, a decent amount of stuff.
Usually you're a bit of an overachiever.
Well, they're all hidden so hard, and it keeps the counter.
You did every trial in Breath of the Wild, all 127 or whatever, 183.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that you only did 49% of this game?
49% of the items collected.
Seeming kind of just kind of seems like a TA attitude right there, just enough to get by.
Hey, remember like 3 months ago when you said you were going to do Cuphead and we bet $50 on it? How'd that go?
There's no video evidence of me saying any of that.
All right, let's take a short break and be back with the news. All right, back with the quick news. Quick news of the week. Final Fantasy XIV is now the most profitable game in the franchise.
Bullshit.
It's not that surprising, though, because it's an online...
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason why. Yeah. It's definitely not the most favorite.
They got the expansion packs.
It's not the most favorite, I'll tell you that.
No, 100%. What do you think it is? 7, without a doubt?
10.
All right, so most favorite or popular? What do you think is the most popular one? It has to be 7, no? Like, everyone knows Cloud more
most
than...
Most well-known, yeah, maybe 7. But I think most popular is probably 10.
I think 10's the best.
Yeah, I think so.
System Shock live action series is in the works. And then a Marvel's Hawkeye series will launch on November 24th with a 2-episode release day. Or release on that day. And then episodically each
I think that's
week.
How they did...
They did WandaVision that way.
Yeah, I was going
to
say they did.
I think they had to do WandaVision that way because if you remember, it was like those two...
Yeah, it was a two-part thing.
Yeah. Almost. Where people... If you only got one episode of that...
everyone would have been pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
They do that
with The Boys too, though. I think
they give
you one and two, and then
I low key hate when they go back to the weekly releases instead of releasing all up. Like,
it gives me something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's where, like, right now I got my Tuesday Only Murders in the Building, Thursday American Horror Story, and then Friday What We Do in the Shadows.
That's the thing.
You.
Yep.
So.
Well, so that's the thing, like, because you can't control it, neither can I.
Oh no, I can't.
Where I'd have to watch it all. Squid Game. I stayed up to like 2 a.m.
I'm on episode 3.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Episode 3 right now.
You're going to get brainwashed too. Yeah.
My will is too much.
Pretty soon we're going to be wearing white Vans and green tracksuits, all right?
I already already bought a pair.
Yeah. First big news story of the week, Animal Crossing 2.0 update release date. Brewster and other new features coming to New Horizons. This is by Matthew Reynolds on Eurogamer.net. This is going to be a lot of stuff you don't care about, but it's big news for me. All right? Animal Crossing 2.0 update is the most significant patch to the game since its launch back in March 2020. Arriving over 18 months after the game first arrived, it will introduce a large number of requested features, including the long-awaited arrival of Brewster and his museum cafe. That's not all. The return of Cap'n, expanded home exterior and decorating options, the addition of cooking gyroids are all coming free, as well as a premium optional expansion on top. So the Animal Crossing 2.0 update introduced a suite of new features, and not just the previously teased arrival of Brewster. Highlights include Brewster and the museum update is coming to the game, as well as buying coffees at 200 bells a cup. You can spot residents and islanders coming to enjoy a brew, invite them directly using Amiibo, and sit at the table with your friends. These are like little things that I don't care about, is like the interactions between you and the villagers, but like my fiance goes wild whenever she talks to her. She loves them. She has like personal, but that's the thing. People love the connections with the islanders. Harv's Island will be expanded to feature shops from Kix and other visiting vendors, allowing them to set up permanent routes. Tortimer will also make an appearance, as well as Katarina, who can read your fortune for the day ahead. So this is big. Randomly, there'll be shops at your island, but they'll only be there for that day.
Yeah.
And you don't know when they're coming again. So it's kind of annoying where, like, some dude who sells sneakers is only there, like, once a week.
Yeah. So you gotta just know when to be on.
Yep. And not only that, like, he only sells, like, 3 sneakers that day. So if he doesn't have anything you want, you have to wait until he comes back again. So now you can get them to permanently set up a shop at your island.
Oh, that's cool.
Right. So it's kind of like, all right, finally.
But is his inventory still depend on the day?
Yeah. So every, but same.
But he'll always be there. Every day. Yeah.
So you'll have a wider array of things to buy in a quicker amount of time.
Buy with real money?
No.
Okay.
No, it's the currency in the game.
That'd be a money move.
Oh, no.
How do you get the currency with real money?
No. You just like either do odd jobs, you buy or sell things. They have something called the stock market when you buy turnips and then you sell them throughout the week. It's kind of funny.
A little turnip stock market?
Yeah, okay. Literally.
Okay.
Group stretching at the plaza allows you to get some light exercise in alongside your fellow villagers with the option to participate using buttons or motion controls. Setting ordinances give villagers set time of day to make an appearance on your island, catering their habits better to your schedule. So this was in previous games. You get to set ordinances. Like in the previous one, you could do night owl ordinance, which would mean your stores stay open later than they normally do. Because again, it's all set on real time.
Yeah.
So if your stores close at 9 p.m. and you turn on your game at say 9:30, your stores are closed.
Yeah.
Because and the only way to fix it is to basically turn off your Wi-Fi, go into your system settings.
Clock or
yes.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's kind of like time traveling.
No. I don't see why do no one's gonna stretch and do light exercise in real life now that you can do this with your village.
So you do it with motion controls though.
Oh,
so okay. you'd be sitting there stretching out with
I
them.
I was gonna say who's gonna stretch in real life anymore at this point? Exercise is gonna be obsolete.
Well, and then I think they say you can do it with buttons, and that's probably for people who have a Switch Lite. And, you know, you can't remove your Joy-Cons.
So those people are going to be affected.
Yes, they're going to be fat and flabby. Yep.
Brainwashed by Animal Crossing.
Brainwashed.
Virtual workout.
You can now cook using DIY recipes and grow vegetables outside to use as ingredients. So before you could grow fruits, now they're adding vegetables and there's actual food you can cook.
Surprised there wasn't vegetables already.
There was like pumpkins.
Just fruits? Like.
Yeah, it's... Well, because every island has its own fruit. So like when I made my island... I had, let's say, oranges.
Your island's probably so whack.
My island is dope as hell. And then my girlfriend would have, like, peaches.
Oh, yeah.
So I would have to go to her island, steal peaches.
I'd much rather go to her island.
And then I would give her oranges, and we'd plant the trees.
How would you go to her island?
Online. You can go to each other's islands. So it's,
like, you just pop in her island?
Yeah.
Talk junk about her to the village people?
You can even poach her villagers. So, like, sometimes they'd be like, hey, I'm thinking about moving. And she'd be like, okay, go ahead and move.
But you have to be, like, near her to get into her village? Or can anyone just pop in your village?
You have to be friends.
Okay.
And then you have to, like, basically be like, hey, I'm opening my... So each village has an airport on it. And you would tell your airport, like, hey, I'm letting visitors come.
Yeah.
And then I could go onto her island and we could, like, play the game together.
Okay.
The Pro Decorating License allows for new lighting and ceiling decor. The Pro Camera app introduces a handheld camera for the first-person viewpoint to see villagers up close. So before, you could do almost like a selfie photo, and people were posting like ridiculous photos. Now you can get it like as if you're
on their faces.
Yeah, but you could walk around as if you're in first person view.
That's cool.
Storage expansion goes from 2,400 items to 5,000 over the course of 3 expansion tiers. The long-awaited return to gyroids, which can be customized and placed to create unique sounds with near-endless amount of combinations. Gyroids are something that have been in the game forever. They're like a Japanese kind of thing. They're these like wooden dolls that move. I don't fully understand them. I've never cared about them.
Creepy.
Yeah, and the only reason people care about them is because they were in previous games and they're not in this one. So it's like you took something away from us, which no one cares.
Yeah, this is even, I don't know. What does that even do for you?
It's like a decoration piece you can put out, and it'll sit there and dance and make noises. Ladders can now be built permanently on the island with the ability to craft them, purchase first at Nook's Cranny. So one of the items you get is a movable ladder.
Yeah.
So if there's like a terrain and you need to go higher, you move the ladder and you walk up it, but your guy picks up the ladder and puts it back in his pocket. So
now you can just stay there.
You can put a permanent ladder there. So, but before you could also just build stairs there, but it would cost like 96,000 bells, which is a lot.
That's a lot of freaking dough.
Yeah. Residents can invite you round to their house. Residents can now pop up rounds. He wrote this so weird. Basically, if you're at your house, a resident can now visit you like out of the blue.
Yeah.
Again, trying to make it feel more lifelike. They'll just pop in and say hello, look at your house.
That doesn't happen.
They will roast you if they don't like your house. They'll say they love your house. Other 2.0 options include new home exterior options, new items you can purchase using Nook Miles to position around the island, 11 new hairstyles, 11 new reactions, 9 new fence types, the ability to expand the number of bridges and inclines from 8 to 10, custom designs can now be worn, the addition of storage shed, 12 new KK songs, a new music box item, and new items in Nook and Crannies. The other big item they add is, it's called the ABD. It's basically an ATM.
Okay.
But the only ATM in the game is inside your, like, town hall.
Which so, probably closes.
No, it's open all the time, but it's annoying because you have to go inside and it loads the game. Yeah. And then you have to walk out. Now you can finally put one outside and...
just walk up to it, grab some dough, and be out of there.
But I don't know why they don't just make it... so. The big thing is your character has a smartphone, and that you just do everything on the smartphone. Why not just put it on the smartphone? It would have been way easier.
Because they want you to get the real feel of walking up to the ATM
and
taking out that money.
It's so annoying.
To make it more interactive.
Yeah.
More real life.
Animal Crossing Interactive. All right. As well as all the above free updates, there's an addition of Happy Home Paradise, a paid DLC for $24.99, or free with the expansion pack tier of Nintendo Switch Online Service, which has your plan... the perfect resort paradise for residents, allowing you to design interiors and exteriors to their taste and preferences. So it's basically like a mini game inside this game now.
Yeah.
And you just like go into God mode and design these houses. You do. Like your character disappears and it basically becomes a grid and you just like design the house where the way you want it to. And they
start designing the perfect resort paradise.
But it's not attached to your actual island.
Yeah, it's just separate.
Yeah. So it's like... there used to be a game, Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer, which was a spin-off game, where it was basically take all the fun parts of Animal Crossing and remove them.
Yeah.
And that was the game now, is you just design other people.
Design shit.
Yes. Which people really enjoyed because you would post it online and they would rate each other.
Get jobs from it.
But there was
become interior designers from it. What's your experience, Animal Crossing?
What's your star rating? You'd have star ratings.
Yeah, I have a 5-star rating on Animal Crossing. Literally. So what's up with you, dude? Yeah. It's your loss if you don't hire me.
But that's the thing, right? There's no like, there's no actual like scoring system in the game. There's no incentive. No, so
because it's not for you.
Well, I'm hoping
it doesn't judge it.
They call it work in this game. I'm hoping you get paid for it. You can make bells this way.
No, they're not gonna pay you bells for that.
I'm hoping
that's just all gonna be free.
But all of this comes out November 5th. The weird thing was this was a presentation by Nintendo. At the presentation for this game, they ended the presentation with the Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion pack, like release info and the pricing, to the point where people almost stopped caring about the Animal Crossing content that was there because people were more pissed off that the Nintendo Switch Online expansion
$30 more, which I don't think is a big deal.
So that's the thing, right? So Nintendo has confirmed the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack will officially launch on October 25th, 2021. So a couple weeks. Actually, what is that, next week?
It's like $4 a month. Just get over it.
It is. It's about like $4. The other weird thing is...
$4.50, whatever you want to call it.
The family pack, right? So if you do a family pack, it's $80 for 12 months.
Yeah.
You can have up to 5 people on it.
Yeah, you split that.
Right. It's I did the math out. It's like $1.40 a month per person.
It's, either way, it's you pay $4, you pay $1 a month.
Yeah.
I think you can afford it.
The and it so do, buying this, it gives you access to the N64,
yep.
Sega Genesis,
yep.
And it gives you the $25 Animal Crossing DLC. So that, like, if you were going to buy the Animal Crossing DLC,
if you were going to buy the expansion pack and you play Animal Crossing, this is a perfect.
Right, because now it's only really an additional $5 compared to the $25 you were already going to shell out.
Yeah, no, it's a perfect deal.
And if they're going to add this DLC to this online membership, I would think they're going to add other DLCs they release in the future to this. Right? Like, they're setting a precedent for it now. Because that was such a weird item to throw in with that Nintendo Switch Online. Because if you were going to buy it and you don't have Animal Crossing, that doesn't help you at all.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Well, I mean, yeah, it's probably a good way to entice people to get that membership.
Is right.
To include the expansion with yeah. it. Oh, you get it for free.
I mean, what if in like 2 weeks they say, hey, Fighter Pass 1 and 2 from Smash Bros. Is now included in the online membership, right? Because if you were going to buy those, you probably already bought them.
Yeah.
But if you were on the fence about it, they just got you for $30 anyways. That's yeah. something you weren't going to originally buy. So it's some money compared to none.
That's true.
Right, so
I could see the DLCs going into this now.
Yes.
But I mean, that doesn't... I mean, it helps them, but it doesn't help them if people are going to get the DLC anyway. Like, if they already have the expansion pack.
Right, then, well, like,
then,
I do.
Then these new things yes. don't help you. Each DLC coming out, you won't... I mean, you'll get it for free regardless.
Yes.
So that actually kind of hurts them,
I yeah. feel like. That, well, that's why I think they're adding the Animal Crossing DLC first, because it's the first one that's... not technically out yet, but we know about.
Plus, we've been saying that this game hasn't had a big update in a long time, so they were like, oh, let's throw out a game that
yeah.
people still play
yep.
and want a big update for,
yeah.
and we'll entice it with this fucking, with this plan.
The only thing I don't know about Animal Crossing moving forward is, so they already said this is the last big free update,
yeah.
and now we have this paid update for $24.99. It's kind of a hefty price for that update. I understand it's a lot of content. I don't know if this is the final update ever, though. Or if they would add other, you know, DLC for money. Because you could.
All you got to do is test this one out, see what the feedback is, see what people still want, and then they can come out with a DLC too.
Yeah.
Just add those things. They can just do that over and over until someone finally says, like, there's nothing wrong with this, and I have nothing else to add to the game.
100%.
Then that's when it ends.
Because they could do something right and call it like the Arctic expansion, where you take a boat to like a frozen.
They could have you create a freaking ski lodge. Like, they could do whatever the frick they want.
It's a good idea, right?
They could do whatever the frick they want.
Yeah. It's like,
especially with the interior designing and shit, mm-hmm. like, people love that in general. You give them a theme and they'll go to town with it.
And with the Nintendo Switch, where they have like a bigger like. You know, you can post screenshots right to your Twitter, or you can post videos right to your Twitter, or they have all these things that are connected to social media, where social media does so much pushing for them now.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much free, like, almost advertisement you give them.
I definitely wouldn't be surprised if we see another paid DLC.
I would think you're crazy not to, you know? I
mean, at this point, you have to if you want to keep it going.
How big
you can't keep giving out all this free
no.
you know, this shit for free.
Right.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Do you think
you got to get them with either the expansion pack or you get them with the DLC?
Right, yeah.
And that's what it's coming down to.
Honestly,
just get both.
Honestly, so I already bought the... You can now buy the N64 controller or the Sega Genesis controller. So I already bought the N64 controller before I even saw the pricing.
Yeah.
And once I bought the controller, which was $50, I was like, fuck.
Jesus.
I know. Steve. Then I saw the pricing. I was like, god damn it, it's $30 more. The only reason now I'm back in is because they included the DLC.
Yeah, that's true.
Cause
saves you $25.
100. Cause I was gonna buy that.
You were gonna buy it anyway.
Exactly. The weird thing is though. So if you say you like next year, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to buy the Nintendo Switch expansion. Plus, the name's horrible.
If you cancel it,
you lose the DLC. That's a weird thing,
that
right?
Sucks. They like lock you into it.
Yeah. Or I have to cancel and then buy the $25
yeah,
DLC.
Yeah, then repay for it.
Yep.
Did you lose all that data?
I don't think you lose the data. I think you lose access to it. It's very confusing
If you lost the data, that would absolutely...
That would hurt even
more.
That
would just literally lock you right in.
Yeah.
Like, you could never leave the expansion pack.
100%.
Because that would suck. Especially if you did that multiple times.
Yep.
Got all free DLCs.
Yeah.
And then you were like, I don't need the subscription. And
nope.
Just, boop.
The worst part is, right, like...
But then you'd have to repay for them all.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, damn, should I just keep the subscription?
That's a, yeah.
Because you're getting access to all those games anyway. Well, you might as well.
It depends on what they add to it, right? Like, I will be pissed if they're like later, like, hey, we're going to add GameCube and all this, but now you have to pay even more now.
Cause, I'm sure they'll add it for everything they add.
Well, so the other one, the $20
one. Maybe that's why they should have kept it. Maybe that's why they shouldn't have jumped at $30.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should have jumped at $10.
Yep.
And then when they drop Game Boy, GameCube,
yep.
you know, you jump it up another $10.
100%.
And then one more until you get to that $30 range, well, instead of jumping at $30 in one shot. Because now you can't raise it anymore.
You know what? If they were going to shoot it at $30 originally, I would like almost like a mapping plan. Like, hey, like at this point, we're going
to
include these. We're going
to,
at this point,
to this, yeah.
Because at the launch of the expansion, they're only releasing 9 N64 games.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're not giving you a very, you know, they're giving you a selection, but not a large selection.
Right.
So it's like, is it really worth for that
$30? Well, and they showed us other games that are coming, but aren't going to be, but they don't tell you when. And that's kind of an issue, where if it's like, hey, every month we're releasing two more, or every 2 months we're releasing two more, at least I would be a little bit more confident.
Yeah, at least give it a layout.
Exactly.
Give people an idea of when things
and they're
are
going not going
up,
to.
When you want to buy.
They're just
going to
like randomly send out a tweet, be like, hey, today comes out Paper Mario.
I don't know. I feel like this expansion pack could come back and bite him in the ass with that whole lose the DLC shit.
Yep. Yeah. That sucks.
People might not want to buy it knowing that it'll be a problem to mm-hmm. get out of it.
Well, and the other thing is, if they start tying DLC exclusively to this.
That's what I mean.
And you don't ever technically physically own it, right?
Yeah.
And like years down the line, they shut down servers. Now you can't actually play the entirety of the game.
Yeah,
if there's no way to get that.
All that,
yeah.
Yeah, that could this could come back and bite them.
It's like I don't hate it and I hate it at the same time.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd buy it now.
Well, I mean, if you have no plans on doing those free DLCs or whatever, then it seems like a fine deal. But if you're tying all your free DLCs into that, then that's
come
back and bite you.
Let's see. All right, next big news story. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearls Underground gets renovated. This is by Ana Diaz on Polygon.com. So there are a couple already previews for the new Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes coming out. And Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl are faithful remakes of their 2006 predecessor, Nintendo says. But those games were weird. And they were Nintendo DS games, after all, with specific to its dual-screen hardware. All this leaves fans wondering what the original Pokemon Diamond and Pearl will make it to their Nintendo Switch remakes. From the 40 minutes of gameplay Polygon saw in a preview event, we can say the developer Ilka has preserved the quirks of the original games while blending in quality of life updates from the recent entries like Pokemon Sword and Shield. By and large, the game looks like it will bring a lot back from its originals. The preview showed Route 208, an early area of the game just outside of a mountain. Looking at the area, we saw the route remade with its normal landmarks and characters, except with updated graphics. Even quirkier features like Pokétech, a smartwatch with apps, have made their way to the remakes. In this game, you'll be able to use the app to do things like count your steps, leave notes using the Switch's touchscreen. Quality of life features seen in Pokemon games on the Nintendo Switch make up the bulk of the changes we saw in Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. The remakes get an autosave feature, for starters. In Pokemon battles, every Pokemon in your party gains experience after a battle. Do you like that? Do you like or hate that? Every time you do a battle, everyone in your party gets a XP.
I never liked that. I always like training them individually.
Right.
I can't say that because I hated training them individually when you are doing it. But like, I just always thought that that's why I didn't like getting the EXP share.
Yep.
I never liked.
So it's no longer like an item anymore. Well, it is, but now instead of like,
even when it was an item, I felt guilty using it.
Yep.
I felt like, damn, I'm not even putting, like, you'll go the whole game without even using that Pokemon.
But
he'd be
jacked at the end.
He'll just be jacked. Yeah. So it's like, it's stupid.
Yep.
That's why I didn't care for it. I like training them individually.
If you remember,
but that's why in certain games I only have like three members because I didn't want to fucking train anybody.
Yeah. You used to have three jacked members, and
that was
it.
My Pokemon Red. It was my ultimate season. Articuno 99, Charizard 99, and
wasn't it Zapdos?
No, it was someone like normal. Jolteon.
Jolteon.
Them three all 90. They were level like 75 by like the fourth gym.
Yeah.
So I was just.
I
had to get Charizard so strong to fight Brock and Misty. I already had a Charizard by the time I fought Misty because I couldn't beat them two with the Charmander.
Why didn't you catch anyone?
I didn't want to. It's so annoying to like, why do I want to catch another Pidgey? Everything like, I don't need another Pidgeotto in my life.
You made your life so much harder than it had to be.
You sit there and you train those, like, the Pidgeot. Like, yep. Who doesn't pick up a Pidgeotto in your first time you play one of those games?
No, no.
You know you're going to pick it up.
100%.
You know by when it hits level 36, 40, yep. and you get better Pokemon, he's going to be right out the squad.
You know, so Pidgeotto is really good, though.
But why am I going to get him to level 40, 50 to get him out of my squad once I get someone better?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, why even? I'm just going to get along with Charizard. By the fifth or sixth city, when you get the Eevee, that's when I got my Jolteon.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I chained him all the way up to where Charizard was.
Yeah.
Went, kept going until I got to the Articuno, jacked him up, and then I was done. I went to the Elite Four with them three and just bodied everybody.
That's the craziest.
Just absolutely bodied everybody.
That is like the, like, almost impressive, but also
I beat it like 29 times.
I remember you
would
just run through the Elite Four.
Just run through it with three guys.
Do you remember, though, when the EXP share used to be an item that whoever was holding it, that was the only Pokemon in your party that would get EXP instead of everyone?
No, everyone would get it.
Right,
that
person
later would just get more.
So there was one time where you would actually have to physically make the... Because remember, you can make Pokemon hold items?
Yeah.
So when it first like came out, you would give it to a Pokemon, and they would get some of the XP, and that was like the original.
Yes, yeah.
Because the other technique used to be you'd put your weakest Pokemon to start the battle and immediately switch them out.
Yeah.
And then that's how you used to train them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to do that too, yeah. Because then they'd get the most because they were such a low level, and you'd get like your 20. And but they'd level up four times in that one shot. But you just had to make sure they didn't die first.
100%. So that's why you quickly changed them out as soon as the battle started.
Yeah, that used to be the technique.
You can swap Pokemon in and out of your storage system at any point, so you don't have to go to the PC anymore.
That's dope.
I like and hate that because you'll never, like, if, like, say you have six Pokemon and you're going through, like, remember when you go through the dungeons?
Oh, yeah.
You used to be nervous that, like, if you don't make it out.
Oh, yeah.
And no one ever used HM Flash to light it up.
Just go through it dark.
Dark.
And who wants to waste a freaking spot on Flash get it removed later down the line and then have to find a new TM?
Yes.
No. You go through that shit dark.
So now you don't have to worry about it, because if you say five of your six Pokemon die, you just switch them out for other people in your...
See, that's convenient. Oh, that used to be a struggle back then.
You also no longer need Pokemon with specific hidden moves in your party to fly or ride on the water anymore. That's great. I hated that.
Yeah, that sucks. You find one guy that can learn all four.
Bidoof. Remember, everyone used to have a Bidoof that had cut strength. And you never battled with him.
That sucks. Wasting a move on. Exactly. I mean, Surf I'll let slide because it does like 80 damage. But I'll let that one slide. But all the other ones suck. Rock Smash does like 30.
Dude, I remember.
Cut does like 50.
Yes.
It's like, come on.
I
Flash
remember
is just useless.
My little brother had a Charizard. He taught it Fly, Cut, and Rock Smash.
I think my Charizard had Cut too. And Fly. But Fly also.
Fly was a good
Flies
attack.
Like Surf.
Yes.
That one can stay.
Yeah, exactly.
But Rock Smash. Yep. Rock Smash is good against flying Pokemon, but other than that, it's useless.
Oh, it's horrible.
Other than that, useless.
And again, that's your Charizard, right? The worst about those HMs is you couldn't get rid of them with another move. Remember, once they learn it, that's permanent attack.
No, there was a way you could remove
it. You'd
have
to go to like the HM remover, that guy who would like.
The only thing that's you can get away with Charizard, if you have Fly and Cut, you can get away because you can get away with it only because he only has two other fire moves that are good, Flamethrower and Blast Burn.
Yeah.
So you can get away with it, but if you add Rock Smash,
right,
there goes your Blast Burn.
Well, so I would almost rather have Rock Smash than Cut, because Cut's a normal attack.
It is, but Rock Smash really only does damage against flying.
But that's good. That's at
but
least...
that's it. I feel like it's more non-effective against other types more than Cut is just normal effective.
The other types that it is super effective against, it doesn't matter because it's like Bug, right? Which Fire is already super effective against.
And I feel like
Fly
Rock Smash
is super effective against.
Is less accurate than Cut.
It is.
Cut
it's
like 100%.
Yes.
So.
But
accuracy
just,
was big back then.
Yeah. Oh,
if you just miss all your blast burns, you just wasted
when you
six.
Used to get confused.
Oh.
If you ever get confused in Pokemon, for some reason it seems like your Pokemon can no longer attack.
That's why I like playing Pokemon Showdown on the computer, because that you actually, because like in those other games, you don't fucking use.
No.
You don't use String Shot and shit.
Nope.
Swords Dance.
Nope.
But in this game, you need to, because if someone does it against you, you're done.
Well, that's why.
You get random Pokemon, random moves,
and
you don't get to change it. That's why I like play it, because that one's like, that's like actually high stakes.
But that's competitive Pokemon.
And it's random Pokemon. Yes. You just get a random ass squad.
Like, if you were to ever play in like real Pokemon tournaments, that's what you'd have to do. You wouldn't show up with your team that, like me and you do, where we don't keep an attack unless it actually physically does damage.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah, no. No, that's why I like playing Pokemon Showdown sometimes. Because those String Shots and Sword Dances fucking work.
Watch
you hit someone with that. What's that?
where they shoot the sand in your face and your accuracy drops
sand attack.
Sandstorm or whatever it is. You do that three times on someone and their accuracy is like minus eight. They're never hitting you ever again. That's why that
game is fun sometimes.
You should watch like some of the actual Pokemon tournaments, like their big tournaments they have every year. Those kids play like a completely different game than us.
Yeah, no, they actually use the moves like they're supposed to.
And they like bred these Pokemon and do like IV counting and all this stuff.
Fuck that shit.
You need to have a certain Pokemon with a certain nature that teaches it to.
They couldn't touch us.
Oh, they would crush us.
Your confidence is low. Your thoughts betray you.
There's also one tiny but immensely important change in the battle menu. Your list of attacks will tell you how effective each move is. So when you're fighting Pokemon, if it's already in your Pokedex, your attack will let you know before you even use it, hey, this is going to be super effective, this is going to be not very effective.
I mean, it's convenient, but it doesn't. No, you, like don't even, you don't even need to know the types anymore at this point.
Yeah, it's... Well, I feel like I just generally know now. Still,
well, you know, because we used to think, you think about it so much back then. Like, exactly. Oh, is this going to be super effective against this guy? Oh, I don't remember what's super effective against steel.
Yep.
You think it's water, it's actually fire. So it's like...
fire fight.
Now it tells you, and now it's just like, oh, I don't need to know...
I actually think
and that was
weird.
Big for Pokemon Go too. When you're playing Pokemon Go and you didn't, if you didn't play those old games and you didn't know, like you bring it to like our girlfriends, they don't know what the fuck's super effective against what. They don't know what they're battling.
I always think it's weird when someone doesn't know.
You go to do the raid battles and they throw out like a Charmander against a Wartortle and you're just like, what is going on right now? Like that doesn't work. Like and to us it's second nature. You just know. I mean, mostly you because they started adding some new shit. But mostly you know all the effectiveness.
Well, because in their head it's just like, this is my strongest Pokemon. Not like this is.
Oh
the
yeah, this
best
guy's got the highest
advantage.
CP. He got it.
You could almost run through an entire story mode
if you have all super effectives.
Yes.
And you even if you're weak, you'll get through because it just does double damage.
It's the And then do you know what stab is?
Stab.
Stab means same type attack bonus. So if you use a water type Pokemon, who uses a water attack.
Oh, okay.
If it's super effective, it's not times two. It's actually times four.
Oh, God.
So it's if you use a Pokemon that's the same type as the attack, it gets an immediate times two, even if it's super effective or not. Then when it becomes super effective, it's times four.
See, that doesn't help those type of Pokemons that you have that can have like four different types of moves.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fucking Zebstrika knows Flamethrower and Surf, and it's like, why? Like, it's a Thunder Pokemon. It knows all these moves. Yes. Like, Ninetales knows Solar Beam. Like, what is that?
Right, and that's weird because it's like I remember I used to teach Blastoise Ice Beam because that would
Everyone's Blastoise had a Ice Beam
because it would help defend him against Grass Pokemon because ice was super effective.
Destroys it.
Yeah,
it's almost like now it's an even battle instead of you just getting whopped.
Instead of trying to use Surf and overpowering them on a not very effective attack.
Then it all just comes down to speed.
Mm-hmm.
Who goes first?
Yeah.
If your ice move hits first, you're probably going to win.
That's why Flygon's fucking cheap.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. Flygon, fucking that speed's insane.
Let's see. This says, if you have a Pokemon that knows a water-type move and you're facing a fire-type Pokemon, the menu will tell you that a water-type attack, like Water Gun, of course, is super effective. Players no longer need to look up what's super effective against what. Diamond and Pearl's special areas, the underground, will also change up in a pretty significant way. In the original, players could mine for items and decorate a secret base there. While the remake will preserve the mining minigame of the original, the secret base is swapped out for Pokemon hideaways, little rooms where you can battle and catch Pokemon while exploring the tunnels. Though the underground still has secret bases, you will no longer be able to decorate them. Instead, you'll fill out your base with Pokemon statues you collect with dowsing. For combination, these statues will have special effects on the rest of the underground. For instance, if you place three statues of bug-type Pokemon in your secret base, you'll see more bug-types in the rooms elsewhere in the zone. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, Shine, and Pearl by Ilka and the Pokemon Company launches November 19th on Nintendo Switch. Do you think I get my Switch OLED before this comes out?
Absolutely not. You'll be getting the email saying, hey, we just located... We had to arrest the UPS driver.
Carl. His name's Carl. I know that.
We located the OLED. It's still broke, so it's going to be a couple weeks until we can repair it. You'll have that by Christmas, maybe.
If I'm lucky.
I'm thinking maybe they gift wrap it. They bow it for you.
Christmas 2022, you mean?
Yeah. Same time we get Mandalorian.
Yeah, they're going to be like, sorry, there's a chip shortage. We can't get you your Switch.
Sorry. Once you sent that one back, you know, it's almost impossible to get a new one.
The craziest thing is, I'm not even kidding, when they said, we don't know. We'll get back to you in 1 to 2 days. And I literally said, like, what do you mean? And they're like, this is why we tell you it could take 2 to 3 weeks. And I said, I don't care if it takes 3 months. Like, where is the Switch?
Where is it? Yeah, no, that's unbelievable.
are you getting this? I'm getting it day one.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you?
Yeah, no, I'm into that.
You diamond or a pearl guy?
I always pick diamond.
So here's the thing. I think Palkia is almost cooler, but for some reason I am a diamond guy.
I always like Dialga.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's because I got diamond when I was little.
TA always got pearl, so I went diamond.
Diamond.
We always had to go opposites.
So. And then he stole your game,
and
then
he stole mine, deleted my season, and then got the game 2 days later.
Did he at least give it back to you?
What did it matter? My season was deleted.
Did you run through it again?
I didn't want to. He begged me for it, cried about it. I gave it to him, deletes it.
Well, it's because you're the better brother.
And then he gets it 2 days later. Yeah, like, it's ridiculous.
What I used to do?
The perks would be a number one, huh?
I used to beat the game, trade my starter and any Pokemon.
Yeah,
I wanted
we would
to
do
keep
that sometimes.
To my brothers.
Well, that's why
my
Game Boy Pokemon Red, like the Fire Red version, yep. The newer one. I had the Ultimate Squad of Charizard, yep. Blastoise that I got from TA.
Yeah.
Moltres, Machamp, Dragonite.
Yeah, your team. Dragonite was a cheat in the first one.
I love Dragonite. And then Mewtwo. Yeah. My squad. Just body everybody.
My older brother.
It was Alakazam until I got the Mewtwo.
Tell me this isn't cheating. My older brother used to start the game, pick one of the starters, get to the first gym, beat it, trade us a starter, restart, pick a different starter, get to the first gym, beat it, trade us that starter, restart it with the third starter, beat the first gym, and then we'd trade him back his other two starters so he'd beat the game all the time with all three starters.
Yeah.
Isn't that cheating? It's like brilliant, but it's cheating.
It's not cheating, but it's nice because you always want all the starters except for Venusaur.
But that used to take so much time, and we'd be like, "You're such a loser," and then we would always be jealous.
But that's the grind. It pays off in the end when you have all the Pokemon. And,
well, yeah, and then you see his like team because remember it takes that big photo at the Elite
Four. Yeah, you're just jacked.
Yes.
Well, that's why when I had the Blastoise, I felt pretty complete with my Charizard.
Yeah,
my Dragonite was my like. Pride and joy.
Yeah.
I had the Alakazam until I got Mewtwo.
Dude, Alakazam was so gross.
He was such
too.
A savage. Yep. But when you get Mewtwo, it's like, why would I keep Alakazam in?
You know what's useless now, I think, in Pokemon? Is remember there was a certain Pokemon that you needed to trade to evolve? Like
yeah.
Alakazam.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember you had to trade Kadabra to evolve him?
Yep.
Same thing with Haunter.
Yep.
You used to have to train Haunter
That's
to get Gengar.
Get Game Boy Link thingy yes. and throw that in the back and boop.
But that was a hassle. Remember that?
Oh yeah. It was
now when you can
shit.
Just do it over the internet,
it
it's so easy.
As shit.
Now it's just like, all right, great. Can someone just go online for 2 seconds?
Annoying
now?
As shit.
Yeah.
But it was lit.
Well, and of course they did it to like the flyest Pokemon, right? Like Machamp. That's how you had
Machamp,
to get Machamp
yeah,
too.
That was my boy. I was amped when I got him.
And then they added later. You remember Onix? You'd have to give him the Steel Coat
to get Steelix,
and then
yeah.
trade him.
Yep. Yeah, Steelix is cool too.
Battlefield's 2042's Hazard Zone mode is about collecting intel with your team. This is by Chris Holt on Engadget.com. As is the way of things when it comes to revealing a major game's feature these days, EA has been drip-feeding info about Battlefield 2042 over the last several months. To wit, it has only just pulled back the curtain on Hazard Zone, one of the game's three main modes, a month before November 19th release date. I feel like I'm not hearing about this game enough for it to be released.
I know,
releasing.
I feel like ever since that trailer, I haven't heard anything about
anything.
It.
I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I guess if it's less than a month, right? Like, if it was delayed, we'd know by
they
now.
They can't delay it now.
Yeah. Hazard Zone is getting into the arena, retrieving data drives, and escaping via an extraction point before a storm overwhelms you or enemies take you out. Only two teams can make it out, as only a couple of extraction windows will pop up at random locations. Matches run for up to 20 minutes and will take place across all 7 of Battlefield 2042's maps. Survival is key here. You only have one life, but one of your three teammates can resurrect you if you're killed. Once your entire team is wiped out, it's game over. Still, if you're sneaky enough, you can win a match without firing a shot. Some satellites will already be on the ground at the start of a game, and more will drop in as the round progresses, so you need to adjust your strategy as you go. Before the start of a round, your teammates can kit yourselves out with gadgets. Players can use money earned in previous matches, primarily by making out with data drives, to buy gear like a scanner that shows data drive locations, a healing upgrade, and a squad redeployable call-in. The latter lets you revive dead squad mates, otherwise you'll need to find or redeploy uplink somewhere on the map to bring back your buddies. All of the XP you earn will go towards your overall Battlefield 2042 progression, which will boost your player level and unlock weapons. Teams are made up of unique characters. Players will need to find specialists and loadouts that work in harmony to increase their chances of success. Hazard Zone isn't quite a battle royale mode since you don't need to be the last squad standing to win. Instead, it's objective-based and actually sounds a little like the main mode of Ubisoft's recently announced and delayed Ghost Recon Frontline. As with the other Battlefield 2042 mode, Hazard Zone supports 64 players on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, But on PS5 and Xbox Series X/S and PC, up to 128 players will square off in larger maps. So that's a little different. This is the first time I heard a game mode get more people depending if it's a stronger console. Makes sense.
It does make sense, but it's weird to actually see it.
Yeah. I think it's going to become like the new normal moving forward, right?
It seems like a cool game mode.
I actually like it because it's almost like a battle royale.
But like it's like a search and destroy
battle
royale.
Like they said, combat isn't necessarily the focus, right?
You don't need it. But that's the thing where I'm going to have to disagree. Like when it says teams are made up of... even if you have unique characters, players will need to find a specialist and loadouts to work in harmony. Apex is supposed to be the same way, but you don't need to use the abilities. There are teams that are just better than you.
Right, yeah.
And that's just the way it's going to go. Yep. So they try. Yeah. You can try your hardest to make this game... You need to find your team. It doesn't matter.
No, 100%. It doesn't fucking matter. Right, because it's all skill at the end of the day.
It's all skill at the end of the day.
Me and you could have technically the greatest, all right, this combination of three players together.
Even when you think about it in Apex, you're sitting there, if you're playing with two people and you're like, oh, yeah, this team's, if you think of all their abilities together, healer, you're like, oh, this shit will work great. You go in and you just get lit up. Right. It's just the way it goes.
Everyone always says, everyone's got a game plan until you get punched in the face, right? It doesn't really matter when you get punched in the face.
Everything could go perfectly right, but if you just get outshot, if you don't have the accuracy, whatever it is, you're not going to win the battle.
I do love the idea, right? If one time me and you were to play this and be like, all right, suppressors on at all times. We're not going to try to fight anyone. We're going to try to sneak around the whole
time. Not even shoot a shot.
Or if you do, right? It's quick. It's almost, and it's silent, right? And we're in and out. And
that's why it seems like a cool game mode.
Yeah. I think it's different. You don't hear anything really like it. Like they said, it was in a game that's been delayed. I don't know how successful it's going to be.
I don't know. I mean, Search and Destroy surprisingly stays popular.
I love Search and Destroy.
We used to play it all the time, especially when you have a squad.
Yes.
And you don't want to just sit there and just go play Domination.
Right.
Because when you have six of your friends playing, if you guys are all decent, it kind of takes away from how much you can go off you have six guys that are that good.
Search and Destroy, remember, you're not allowed to talk if you're dead?
Yeah.
Do you think you need to do that for this too?
If you're in game chat, though. Obviously, if you're in a party, you can.
Right, but remember,
in the old games, it would kick you out of the party and play Search, exactly. But in the new ones, it doesn't.
Well, I think it's impossible now with everyone using Discord anyways. Yeah,
so that's what I mean. If you use Discord, that's why Search and Destroy was cool back then.
Yes.
When you were the last one and no one could... Everyone that's dead is talking shit, and you're the last one, you can't hear shit. Yeah. And then when you die and you get back to the lobby and all you hear is, this guy fucking sucks. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, 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 I can hear you now.
My favorite would be if I was in the other room, I'd be like, hey, Dill, two... And that was it. That would be the end. And you'd be like, Gags, where'd you go? And that was it.
You just cut right out. I'm like, oh, he's dead. Oh, shit, someone's pulling up. Dead.
I missed that. That's why
I feel like this could be a sneaky little game mode.
This one's pretty funny. Reportedly leaked Call of Duty Warzone Ricochet anti-cheat is nothing special. This is by Samuel Willits on PCGamersN.com. Just a few days ago, Activision announced its new Ricochet anti-cheat system that will soon make it its way to both Call of Duty Warzone and Call of Duty Vanguard. Anti-cheat is something that people who play this game have been begging for forever.
Oh, it's never going to happen.
Unfortunately, according to Twitter user Anti-Cheat PD, the Ricochet driver has reportedly leaked and has already found its way into the hands of cheat manufacturers and other bad actors.
Of course.
Yeah, right? I swear to God, the people who do cheat are smarter than the people who try to stop it.
That's why they're still cheating.
It's just there's no way to stop it, no matter how hard you try. It's not even just
Call of Duty, though. They'll never get rid of cheaters.
Ever. That's what I'm saying. They're smarter than the people who try to stop it.
You can go on, even when you play Apex and you report them 92 times, there's no shot they actually get kicked off.
Or, they know how to hide their...
IP or whatever the fuck they do. Yeah, it's just, they'll never get rid of these cheaters.
Ricochet is a kernel-level driver, similar to the anti-cheat method used in Valorant, which I never hear about cheaters in Valorant.
I don't hear that much of it.
That looks out for any attempts made by applications on a gaming PC to meddle with Call of Duty's game code. This means the means of combating cheaters has proven highly effective, but naturally raises privacy concerns given its level of system access. While the leak is undoubtedly troublesome to make some matters worse, the driver's protections are reportedly not that great and will be reversed easily, according to Anti-Cheat PD. If true, that would make circumventing Ricochet a much easier task for cheat manufacturers. Fortunately, there's a theory that might provide a silver lining. It's possible that the Ricochet development team has leaked this file, posing as the official driver with the intention of steering cheap manufacturers towards exploiting vulnerabilities that do not exist in, exist in the actual driver. However, there's no way of knowing this for sure, as confirmation would only serve to blow Activision's cover. Activision previously shared some research, as highlighted by Modern Warzone, of how Trojan horse viruses can be disguised as Call of Duty Warzone cheats and leave your gaming PC vulnerable to all manner of security risks. So this is funny because they like actually posted and bragged that we have anti-cheat software. Yeah,
but it could be a cover-up.
Right. And, you know, if they're willing to post and brag about their anti-cheat, I hope that means they're also taking it serious to the point where if it does get, like, beaten...
Well, obviously they're just trying to provoke a cheater
to
cheat by putting that post up.
And then, hey...
Just to see how it gets hacked, and then they go and fix that.
100%. And then that's what I'm hoping.
They're not going to admit it. It's because that'll blow the cover.
But I'm hoping that, like, if it does get beaten, they're working on... You know, beating the person who beat them, you know?
I mean, if anything, these, like Warzone and Apex, those are the type of games that you need that cheat guard. Because Valorant, if it's like Counter-Strike, which I think it is. Like, where you can see the people before they're even there.
Yep.
It don't matter if you can cheat or not. If that other guy is waiting for you and you're the cheater and he's already looking at you and you turn the corner, you're done.
Yep.
But Apex and shit, they just literally run to you straight up. Mm-hmm. And no matter how many shots you hit, every shot they shoot is a headshot.
So that's what I was about to say.
You're done regardless.
I've seen clips of like...
And Modern Warfare is worse because you could be halfway across the map. This guy's got like one of those deep scopes on like one of those big LMGs.
Yeah.
They'll shoot you from across the map. It'll be all headshots.
Yeah.
And you're just dead.
I seen a video. This is like a real clip. It was, I think it was Tim the Tatman. So he dove, you know, you like parachute into the level. He's parachuting into the level. Game just started. Dude from like 3 miles away points the pistol in the sky.
And just shoots.
Shoots him.
All headshots.
Yep.
Just dead.
Yep.
That's Call of Duty, it's worse.
Yep.
Because Apex.
Well, that was Call of Duty.
That's what I mean. Yep. Apex, you can kind of tell when someone's cheating. Like if you poke your head out and your entire health bar gets whapped in 2 seconds and it wasn't a sniper, you know you just got hit all headshots.
Yep.
And it's no way they hit all headshots from
that far away. Right, because of the recoil and everything too.
Exactly. It's you just know it. And you can tell. Once you peek your head out and you have this much health left and you had a full shield, just run the fuck away, because let that guy get killed from someone else, because you are not going to beat him if you're far away.
I've seen so many videos of, like, someone gets killed, they know it's a hacker, so they just,
watch
spectating, and they sit there cheering on anyone who's fighting them, hoping to God they kill the hacker. Yes.
You report them 42 times, and you just hope to God someone kills them. It's annoying.
The only good thing I will say is, like, if you were, say, Ninja, Tim the Tatman, Nick Merckx, you know, any of the big streamers, when they clearly get killed by a hacker... They definitely have someone who works on the game watching the game them play, because they're such a big streamer.
But at that point, it's like, what can you do?
I mean, hopefully you can try to ban the, you know, you look up the name
you
of the guy.
You can try, but even then, I just don't.
Right,
don't
again,
think it
they're
does
smarter
anything.
Than they're smarter than the people who make the game. Just,
all they do is make another account.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, I'm sure there's ways around it.
Right. Like you said, they know how to hide their IP. They know how to. You can't even IP ban them. You know.
Even when you sit there and just. Report. It's not like anything happens to them instantly because they're still in the fucking game.
Right, and they still have to like investigate the reporting.
And,
that
most of the time, you'll notice when you start spectating them and you know they're cheating, they won't even shoot anymore. Like they'll stop playing the way that they were just playing because they know you're watching them.
Right, because it gives you the little
icon. You the little eye at the top, so they know you're watching. So they'll just wait for you to leave.
Yep,
and then they'll start doing what they were just doing.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, they'll just let the other guys like do it, and then they'll kind of just shoot like at the body, like a little bit. Like, shoot low. So, like, and you're like, you know you're not shooting like that. Why would you be aiming at people's legs? And for some reason, you'll shoot at the legs. It'll still be a headshot. So, it's like, what the fuck?
So, it's even more obvious.
You can tell just, like, the way the bullets go sometimes. Like, oh, this guy's cheating. It's just like, he's running this way, but the bullets are going this way. It's like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. Hit firing. He's not even aiming. It's like, come on.
I hate it, and I love it at the same time. Like, it must suck when it happens to you. But when you see it. It's so funny where it's like just so blatantly obvious.
The better feeling is when you kill one of those pieces of shit. You come up behind them and they don't see you and you just light them the fuck up.
All right, last news story of the week. The biggest announcement from DC Fandom. This is by Kim Lyons on TheVerge.com. So to start it off, we had the Batman shows off Robert Pattinson's gritty hero. We got a second trailer for the Batman. What I think his Batman...
I think it still looks nuts.
Yeah, I think he's going to have the best looking Batman, like live action
Batman
film. It
looks so
film.
Much darker.
It's way darker.
And I thought Bale's was kind of dark, but like this one's like... Way this darker. This one just seems... It's just like the tone of the setting and everything looks dark.
Yeah.
The city looks like shit.
Yeah.
Like no one looks rich. Like it just all looks like a shit town.
Oh, it's
shit
dark
city.
As hell, yeah.
It looks dark. It looks so good.
In, like you said, Bale's Batman, right? It's kind of realistic. Like, no one truly has superpowers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They're kind of people who have better abilities, but they're no true super...
I wouldn't even say abilities. I would just say, like, better position in life.
Yes.
Like, if you're just a low-life thug, you're working with the Joker.
Right.
And if you're a rich...
But, like, the Joker didn't have any superpowers,
no,
right?
No, exactly. He's just a normal, crazy-ass dude.
Normally does he ever, though, right?
He's just like, a crazy-ass
dude.
But
even, like, Bane was really just a jacked dude.
Jacked dude, yeah.
Where in, like, you know, the comics, he's...
All, like, geared up. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Do you think this goes into like more Christian Bale's realm where no one truly has superpowers? Or do you think it gets to the point where people actually have superpowers?
I mean, from the trailer, nothing looked unrealistic.
Exactly.
It looked like he was just eating bullets.
Yep.
Just beating people up.
But because he was shooting the metal, you know? Like
beating people up?
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like he took 92 AK shots in that hallway and he just single-handedly just walked through them all.
Vengeance.
So I don't know how realistic that is, but...
But even like the Riddler doesn't really have powers.
No, yeah, he's just
And I think
riddles.
The other hero or supervillain is Penguin.
Yep.
And we'll see how, you know, crazy the Penguin actually gets.
But that's the thing with Batman. None of his villains are really super powered because he has no super fucking powers. Besides her.
There's quite a few. Clayman...
guess.
I mean, look at it.
What's his face? Scarecrow.
Scarecrow.
But he's just like a human with not like.
Yeah, drugs.
Drugs.
I'm trying to think.
If any, I mean, obviously, out of the other DC superheroes, he is the most real. He's in the most realistic setting.
Right.
So you kind of have to make his bad guys somewhat realistic as well, because you can't go kill a god.
Even like
I don't care how smart Batman is, he's not going up against like a fucking
because technically
Black
like
Adam.
Catwoman, right? Yeah. Doesn't really have power.
No, she's just a fucking gymnastics girl that can steal
Mr.
stuff.
Mr. Freeze kind of does if they go into Mr. Freeze's story. Poison Ivy, technically.
But I feel like that's why they always go for like the same villains, like Bane, or the Joker, or they'll go with the Penguin again. Like, I feel like Penguin was big back in the day, but when was the last time we really seen Penguin in something serious?
Danny DeVito, I think, against Michael Keaton's Batman.
Exactly, a long time ago.
Yeah.
So Penguin's, like, even the Riddler, we haven't really seen much of the Riddler.
Right.
He's kind of just in the video games. We already know they've done the Joker. They've done Bane.
So, and again, this is not part of the DCEU. So, and we know that. This is, you know, its own standalone thing, which is weird. But I like it.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah, right, because I think this is going to lead to a better movie. Because if before you have to kind of worry about tying it in, now you can just write the story you want to write.
I just like Pattinson better than Affleck.
How hyped would you be, or would you be hyped, if they end this with the teaser that ties into Flashpoint? Would you care? Because again, they're going to restart the DCEU timeline, I guarantee it.
I'm sure they could do it.
Yep.
I'm sure that might be what they're planning.
Right.
I don't know if I care. I don't really care. I don't like. I still don't like, the Flash.
Yep.
I don't like that.
Ezra
Flash.
Miller as the Flash.
Like
yep.
The Flash. So I don't even really care.
We got a very early look at Black Adam. You know, Dwayne Johnson as Shazam, anti-hero Black Adam. I wonder if this is tying into a Shazam 3, because I've always thought it's Black Adam
is
as
it just Shazam 2.
Isn't Shazam that... 2 is already coming out.
Yeah, coming out. Yeah.
Fury of Gods.
Yeah.
That was another thing that was shown off.
Is it Wrath of the Gods?
It might be Wrath of the Gods. I thought it was Fury of the Gods.
Could be Fury.
But that has...
I'm sure those will tie into each other somehow.
You kind of have to.
I mean,
right.
If they don't tie in at the end of this movie...
It's going to be a Superman movie. Black Adam versus Superman.
Black Adam is still, I feel like,
yeah,
a Shazam bad guy.
Yeah.
So why would they tie him in with Superman?
Because he's, it's tough. It's what would you rather see if you're? Because I know Black Adam and Superman have squared.
I mean, Black
off.
Adam versus Shazam is pretty crazy, and that's an animated fight,
right?
When I just watched it like a week ago on one of those it's like its own animated movie, Shazam versus Black Adam, but someone helped Shazam fight him.
Okay.
And I don't remember who it was. It was either Batman or it was Superman, because they teamed up and they were still getting whapped up.
Yeah, because that's what I'm. Because Black Adam is a big deal.
He's supposed to be a big deal.
Yeah.
And from what you can see, Dr. Fate is in the movie, and Dr. Fate is pretty disgusting.
Right. And
from the video games that I remember, and from Injustice 2, he's disgusting.
And I feel
he
like
he shoots like those freaking keys at you. And yeah, he's from Egypt. Like I don't know. Yeah, what's going
I don't know
on
what he
him,
is. And that's
but he's scary.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, and his I mean, I hope they kind of follow his little design from the game because he has that mask on and he looks like a savage. But
I feel like Henry Cavill has been teasing Black Adam though. And if Henry Cavill is going to be teasing, what wouldn't you think he'd be squaring off with him?
I don't see. The only reason why I could see him squaring off with him is if they started off with him squaring off with Shazam.
Yeah.
Shazam gets wiped up.
And then he
recruits
Superman.
They
yep.
go fight him together.
Yeah.
And that's that. I don't see him just fighting Superman
I also,
for no reason.
Like, I don't know how long Henry Cavill is Superman anymore, if he even still is.
He's the Witcher now.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know.
Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, got the trailer reveal.
Looks great.
The game looks good.
Graphics look insane.
Yep. You literally, the point is to kill the Justice League who have been
cool
brainwashed
with.
By Maniac.
I'm cool with that.
Do you think you actually end up killing anyone in the Justice League?
I'm sure you just kill them all and then they like somehow find a way to get them uncontrolled and then
yep.
they come back to help you.
Well, so that's the thing. Do you actually kill them or do you just beat them? You know?
You probably just beat them.
Because this is technically tied to the Arkham Asylum universe.
They would never allow you to kill a main superhero group.
That's where... So I would disagree if it wasn't included in the... If it was its one-and-done story, I would think, like, maybe you do, right?
If it is a one-and-done story,
but it's tied to the Arkham Asylum
yeah, so
universe.
There's no way they kill them all.
Right, there's no way you kill Batman, at least,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, you can't.
Yeah, that's where we'll see, right? We'll end up seeing.
Good luck promoting a Justice League 2 when you just kill them all in this yeah. in this video game.
Well, not only that, it's like how do you actually kill them? You know,
yeah,
there's
I
no
mean,
shot.
I don't see Harley Quinn killing Superman. Let's
right.
just be realistic.
And
Shark Dog, Shark Guy, he ain't doing it.
Yeah.
Boomerang, stop it. Dead Sport, whoever it is,
Deathstroke.
Bloodshot, Death Sport, whoever that guy wants to be, stop it.
Yeah, it's
the only guys that they could all probably take out is Batman. They just gang up on them.
So this game is coming to Xbox Series X.
How do any of them fight the Flash? Just tell me.
You stick out a leg and you hope you trip.
You hope to God you trip. Like, how do any of those guys fight the Flash? Just tell me right now.
Yeah, it doesn't... Because really, if the Flash wanted to, he could run up and rip their hearts out without any of them knowing.
Oh, if the Flash was actually, like, a savage, like,
yeah.
if he had, like, a killer instinct,
yep.
he could kill anyone.
Right.
Realistically, he should be able to kill anybody.
Anyone, yeah.
Like, even Batman.
100%. I mean, Batman's the worst superhero of all time.
You would get some heavy debates if you said that on like a poll or something.
Well, his superpower is he's rich, and he's even said it.
But he's good at being that.
This game is coming to Xbox Series X/S, PlayStation 5, and PC in 2022. We didn't expect it to hit last-gen consoles, right?
No.
Especially
with
like
those
you
graphics?
Said with those...
Yeah, no, hell no.
Unless they...
PS4 would crash trying to run that.
I think so, too. And it's, again, it's one of those like online four-player co-op games.
Yeah, no, you need
that. That's chugging.
Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely not.
The Flash teases a multiverse meltdown. It's not just Marvel dabbling in the multiverse these days. The long-delayed The Flash got a sneak peek at fandom, bringing not just Ezra Miller's super-fast hero, but also the return of both Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton's version of Batman. Keaton does the voiceover for the teaser, which includes a glimpse of the unmistakable Batman cowl at the end, scheduled to hit theaters November 4th, 2022. I'm actually excited for this.
I don't even care.
Really? I kind of want to see... I'm more excited just to see Michael Keaton back as Batman.
This is a last effort attempt to match Marvel's
I think so.
Multiversal
yep. yeah.
you know, drop.
Well, I wonder if they really use this point to restart.
Oh,
and
I
then,
think they do in the comics anyway, but
yep.
still.
Right, and this is the perfect excuse
it
to do it
for
the film.
It is the perfect time to do it, yeah, but still. I don't think it's going to hit the same way that all this multiverse shit's going down now with...
Well,
especially once we get Spider-Man.
Yep.
And then we get Doctor Strange.
Yep.
Who the fuck's going to care about this?
Did you hear about the Doctor Strange rumors?
What?
That supposedly Chris Evans signed to be in Doctor Strange, but he's not Captain America. He's going to be reprising another role that he did in the MCU.
In the MCU?
Well, not technically in the MCU, but as a Marvel character.
Like I said,
because he was the Human Torch.
Oh, stop. You think they're going to try to bring him back as the Human Torch?
Possibly for a scene.
I mean, I feel like I heard it's possible because I thought I heard... That I swear
now
I heard,
they're getting really crazy with multiverses.
I heard that two people from Fox's Fantastic Four or whatever it was
yep.
is joining that cast.
Yep,
two people.
So that would make sense, right?
But who do you think the other person would be?
Possibly Jessica Alba.
I doubt it.
I mean, it's got to be someone you care about. Maybe that's how they bring in.
If anything, I think it has to be Reed Richards
or hear me out, Doctor Doom.
Well, it could be either one of them. Only because I don't think they bring out Doctor Doom first. I think they bring out Reed Richards first. Both of them have direct relation to Kang.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's how they bring it in.
Yeah.
Doctor Doom, Kang goes back in time and steals all his armor blueprints.
Yep.
And he's a direct descendant of Reed Richards.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're all gonna tie in somehow.
Yeah.
But I don't see what the Human Torch has to do with that movie.
Cause imagine you go in, you see him, they know who Captain America is. They walk up to him and say, "Mr. Rogers," and he acts like he's never seen them before or any idea who they are.
Yeah, they walk up to him
and it's kind of like a joke scene.
Cap, and
yeah.
It's not.
It's more of like a joke scene with him.
Yeah, I could see it. I don't know. It could be Doctor Doom.
I honestly think, like, when we talk about Spider-Man, though, right? Like, how hyped are we for Tobey Maguire? I think this is going to hit people who really love Michael Keaton as Batman.
I seen a leak about, I don't know if how accurate it is.
Yep.
But they are saying Andrew Garfield is in that movie.
They're saying Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire have about 40 minutes of screen time in that film.
That's what I seen a leak about it. Yep. And I seen that. Andrew Garfield has denied it multiple times and in like the last month that he is absolutely not in this movie.
Yeah.
He was like, I feel bad for the people that want me in this movie.
Yeah.
He was like, I had talks with these people.
Yeah.
It never went through. He's like, I am not in this movie.
Yeah.
I think he's fucking lying.
Well, Jonathan Majors swore to God that he was not in the Loki series, right?
Yeah, he was.
And there you go.
I say he's a big fat liar.
One of the things going around the internet right now is how secretive Kevin Feige wants to be with everything. So Owen Wilson was doing an interview, yeah, and he let slip that Mobius has a mustache. And he said he got a text from an unknown number that he didn't know that just said strike one. Simu Liu, who got casted as Shang-Chi, said he got a call from an unknown number that when he picked up, all it said was, "Your life is about to change," and then hung up. And then the next day, he found out that he was Shang-Chi, and he found out that was Kevin Feige who called him.
Yeah, because he kept tweeting like, "Yo, when are they going to do an Asian superhero movie?" And they finally gave him a call like, "Hey, it's you." And he was like, "What?"
Hey, he was a perfect cast for it, I think.
I don't know. Doctor Strange is going to be crazy. Spider-Man's going to be crazy.
Yep.
All those movies are going to be crazy. And I heard they just, I don't know what, I can't remember what, I read something new for Ant-Man and the Wasp 3. I don't know what the info was, but it was something important.
Well, I have a little bit of news for the
Marvel still
films.
Think that movie's going to be insane.
It better be.
I think that one's really going to lead shit up.
Neither Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom of Shazam, Fury of the Gods, was quite ready for prime time, but DC did show off some early behind-the-scenes looks at both sequels, which will continue the adventure of Jason Momoa's muscle-bound aquatic hero Zachary Levi, Ash Angel Shazam. The Shazam sequel teaser gave us a look at Rachel Zellger, Helen Mirren, and Lucy Liu as the new villains. So, God, Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu are the villains in Shazam Fury of the Gods. Helen Mirren is like 90, no?
So what the hell is this Black Adam movie supposed to be about?
Well, that's the thing, right? It makes you... One of the problems with the DC films, right, is you don't care about any of these villains because they get thrown in so quick and then beaten even faster.
Who the frig is Lucy Liu's villain supposed to be?
Probably one of the gods, right? It's all tied to the gods. So she'll probably be one of the gods who are pissed off that because it's like high school kids who have these abilities.
He's like a fucking elementary school kid.
Exactly.
It's like 12.
So that's what I'm saying.
But like...
We got a deep dive into Gotham Knights. While Rocksteady is off working on Suicide Squad game, Warner Bros. Games Montreal is continuing the Arkham-style adventures in Gotham Knights, which has originally been slated for a 2021 release before getting delayed to 2022. Players will be able to team up as Batgirl, Nightwing, Robin, and Red Hood in an open-world RPG when the game arrives next year. I hope... My concern about these two games both hitting next year is they're both very similar to each other. Four-player, in a way. Four-player DC... kind of action adventures.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Gotham Knights is way more open world.
I think Gotham Knights is going to blow that one out the wall. I think it's going to be so good that no one's even going to remember
the Suicide Squad. Well, the thing about Suicide Squad that people might care about, again, it's tied to the Arkham Asylum universe.
That's the only even reason, though. Yeah. I could give a shit less about the Suicide Squad. I didn't care for either movie.
Yep.
I didn't even watch the second movie.
Well, thankfully, this has nothing to do with the movies, right?
Well, that's what, either way, though. Like, I didn't care about I don't care about those individual characters.
I agree with you 100%.
Nightwing's cool.
Yep.
You throw in Red Hood?
Yeah.
That's all you needed right there to throw.
How is this the game that's not tied to the Arkham Asylum universe?
You would think it would be.
Right.
Especially with Red Hood being in it and how he became to be Red Hood.
Yep.
I just throwing him in there was enough to make that game, I think, way better.
Yeah.
Like, what character in the Suicide Squad game lives up to Red Hood? Who closest, would you rather play?
Like, that's the thing, right? The closest thing, and it's not, is Harley Quinn.
And like, you're not going to... Who the frig is picking her over Red Hood?
I agree with you. I think...
Even Red Hood, when he dropped...
Even Batgirl, I think, is cooler.
But all four of them look dope in their individual abilities.
Yeah.
But even when Red Hood dropped as the DLC character in Injustice 2, mm-hmm. he was freaking nuts.
Yeah.
Like, just having him...
Well, he's just, like, one of the coolest...
He's just a savage.
He's one of the coolest characters in the whole... Like, a dead...
He's Robin, a Batman that kills people. He's the savage.
Doesn't care, we got teaser trailers for the new Peacemaker series. I hate that. I hate the fact that he's getting
I don't mind that it's John Cena. I love John Cena. But I don't care.
Peacemaker is funny in the Suicide Squad movie that he's in, but it's like I didn't love him enough to want to see more of it.
He doesn't seem like a... Like, that's going to be a weekly show, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like a weekly show type actor to me.
Really?
I think he's good in some of those, like, movies.
I think he's good in little spurts. You know what
little
I mean?
Little movies, though. Like, he gets a nice 30-minute screen time in a movie. Like, he's not always in the screen.
Right, no, 100%.
But he makes his little cameos, and he's
funny.
Well,
you son of a bitch, you haven't seen The Marine?
I mean, all right. Those what was that other one he does? 12 Rounds?
Yeah, 12 Rounds.
Those movies were nuts. I don't give a shit. Is The Marine one when he goes to save his wife on that island? Yes. That movie was fucking nuts. I don't give a shit. All right, I take back what I said. I forgot about those movies. But I'm talking...
You ignorant slut.
See, that's fine. That's a movie.
Yep.
It has a set time.
Yep. But you're in and out. Yeah.
A weekly show.
It was a WWE film. You knew what you were getting.
Does he have the humor and like the ability to do that?
Honestly,
weekly and change up his.
He is way funnier than you expect him to be.
He is funny,
but he's way funnier than you expect him to be. I'm not saying he's great. I'm just saying you see it and you're like, it's a 300-pound wrestler out.
I feel like it's more his body and like his stiffness. Like, he's just a stiff guy.
And
like,
I think he plays into his own awkwardness.
He does, and he definitely does. Because, like, even in that movie Trainwreck, like, he's like a little bitch in it. And it's like, dude, you're like, he's like, oh, like, my meat's small. And it's like, dude, you're like 400 pounds of just jacked muscle. Like, how are you this not confident in yourself?
It's like,
those are the type of movies I think he's good at. Obviously, he's the GOAT in The Marine, 12 Rounds.
Yep.
But I just don't know if he's a weekly show type of guy.
So, this is breaking news from today. All the Marvel films have been delayed. I don't know if you... Have you seen this yet?
No.
All right, ready? So, Disney actually updated their calendar for the Marvel Cinematic Universe flicks being delayed. The revamped schedule with Variety reports is due to a production-related snowball effect that affects the slate from 2022 and beyond and will have a knock-on effect on Disney+. All the MCU films Disney had on the docket for 2022 have been pushed to a later slot.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness was penciled in for March 25th.
That's my birthday.
But now it's taken Thor, Love, and Thunder's old date of May 6th. Oh, so fuck now it's coming out on May 6th. The next Thor movie will arrive.
When's that coming out?
August?
8th. Oh.
And in turn, pushing back Black Panther Wakanda Forever to November 11th.
So everything just got pushed back 2 months at that point.
About 2 to 3 months.
I already heard this more. That Black Panther movie might get delayed even farther.
I don't understand how that movie's coming out so close if they haven't even started filming.
I don't think it's
going to
come out because apparently there's rumors that the Letitia Wright is... They're trying to find a way to not make her Black Panther now because of some comments she made about trans women or something.
So I've heard there's issues on set too with one of the actresses pushing like anti-COVID.
Oh, that's her. That's Shuri.
Shuri, yes, I've heard that.
So that's what it was. It was COVID.
She's actually been pissing off almost the entire cast.
So they're
right
saying
now
that she might not... They might find a way to make her not be the next Black Panther. So they might be recasting him. Is what they're saying.
I mean, it's possible.
Just because of these comments. But that could throw off that entire movie's course.
100%.
Of when it was supposed to. That could change the entire story.
Yep.
That could change the entire time. That could be coming out in 2024 for all we know now.
I mean, those aren't the only things shifted, right? The schedule shifts mean there will only be 3 Marvel movies next year instead of a planned 4, as Captain Marvel, the sequel to The Marvels, now has a release date of February 17th, 2023. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania has...
Did that get pushed back?
Has moved from date to July 28th, 2023.
Fuck.
On the flip side, Disney brought one mystery Marvel movie, hopefully Guardians of the Galaxy 3, forward by a week from November 10th, 2023.
That is so freaking far away. It's not even funny.
Yep. So all of these films
that is just
delayed.
The biggest kick in the face.
This is just breaking news.
I'm just glad it's not Spider-Man.
Oh, thank God, right?
If they push back Spider-Man, I would have... After giving us that trailer, yep. and they tried to push that... If they tried to do that...
It's too late. I would have unleashed no shot.
Hell in a 200-character email right to Kevin Feige telling this guy that he just made the biggest enemy he didn't want to make.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable.
It sucks, but like I... As long, like
don't
you
even
said,
say you get it.
As long don't. As we get Spider-Man, I don't really care.
That's
and we're supposed to still get Spider-Man Multiverse too.
And we get the Eternals.
Do you care about the Eternals? I don't even give a flying fuck about the Eternals.
I just want to see my boy Rob Stark shoot laser beams out of his eyes. That's what I want to see. Icarus.
Is that
not a dope name?
What actually gets you excited about Eternals though?
Just Rob Stark shooting the laser beams out of his eyes. They're saying that other guy, I don't know which character he plays. I don't even know how to say his name.
Yep.
Nujani Kamal. I don't know how to say
his name. Oh, Nujani.
But Camille? They're saying he got way too jacked for the movie.
He's ripped.
They're like, yo, even he said it. He was like, I don't even feel right about my body right now. Like,
he got ripped.
He was like, I just feel way. They said they were like, you got way too jacked for this movie.
You know what? Good for him, though. He looks incredible.
Absolutely. I don't know. Some actors have been taking that weird, though.
Yeah.
Like, different comments about their bodies for a movie.
I'm so glad we got to end this episode on a high note, huh?
Thanks, Marvel. All
right, you can find me on Twitter at @AHN_gags.
You probably won't find me on Apex because I didn't get to play all week, so. Find me on Netflix.
There you go.
I'll be watching.
You, season 3.
We can do a watch party.
Squid Games, right? You're going to
I'm on Squid Game right now. There you go. Episode 3. So.
Perfect.